Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Feige has hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
A historic day at NRG, capped off with a final call from the great Mark Vandermeer.
Sam Ehlinger will get behind the center. He'll take a knee, and that'll do it from NRG Stadium. The Texans lose to the Colts again for the second time this season. 31-0. Houston blanked on Battle Red Day as the record drops to 2-10.
I want to sit here and talk about how this is the lowest of the low. I want to sit here and talk about, you know, this is this rock bottom, but it's really not. This is what you've signed up for. Lingers linger. When you know you need to make changes, but you don't make changes, and all you do is tread water. Linger. That's what happens. Let's start with some positive.
Okay.
I want to tip my cap to Lovie Smith and his defense. I know you're going to look at the final score and say why, but if you watch that game and you've watched most of the season, there's been an improvement on defense despite the fact that Lovie Smith is bringing a plastic knife to a gunfight. He has maximized what he's got on defense. Lovie Smith is a new addition to this organization. Tim Kelly's offense, while there have been times where I haven't been as critical of Tim Kelly this year, Tim Kelly's offense looks like what Bill O'Brien's offense looked like. It looks like what you would expect from this system. He lingered around. You didn't change that.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture that you keep selling us seems like it's the number one topic every single damn Sunday. This time it was Zach Cunningham out. The guy overseeing the culture, Jack Easterby, he's lingering on. So I want to sit here and say this is rock bottom, but this is really what you signed up for. The one change that you made, you're seeing improvement, and the lingers continue to linger. And we'll get to David Culley in just a second.
Yeah, we will.
Because he...
Yeah, we will.
Because David Culley is quickly emerging as the worst football coach that I've ever watched. And I get it. There's a notion that, well, what did you expect? You didn't expect much. I didn't expect anything, and he's worse than what I expected. He is one of the most unorganized, out of touch coaches that I've ever seen in my entire life. He's up there with the Jim Tom Sulas, the Dave Campos. David Culley is in that class. But lingers linger. What exactly did they expect when they brought back Tim Kelly and they brought back Jack Easterby?
First of all, this is, you know, I've heard rock bottom a lot. I thought Clint and Sean did a fantastic job yesterday on the postgame show, and I heard Clint talk about rock bottom, and I guess that's accurate if you're talking about to date, you know, to this point. Because I fully expect it to get worse. So this is not quite rock bottom. It's just the rock bottom that we've hit so far. On your bigger point there Yeah, Lovie Smith. I mean, come on. I mean, we all know the story with that. He's trying to hold it together with string and you know, masking tape, and it's just not going to handle. It's just not going to work that way. My problem with what they're doing to David Culley and this offense is foremost, this offense is, and Tim Kelly needs to be replaced as the play caller.
At this point, he does.
Even if it's just for show.
It's embarrassing.
Even if it's just for show.
It's embarrassing.
Let Pep Hamilton do it. Let David Culley do it. Give him something
Come
to
on.
Do on game day.
He doesn't even know the plays.
Give him something to do.
David Culley doesn't even know the offense.
Come on, man.
Let someone Come do on, it.
He does not know the plays.
Let someone do it.
I don't think he even knows the plays. I really don't.
My bigger issue, and you talked about David Culley, and we're going to be hearing from him in his press conference in just a few moments, a few minutes, and there are some questions that need to be answered, is – I don't even feel bad for him. That's not the word I'm looking
you
for.
Shouldn't. The nice guy thing has expired with me. I'm not mentioning it anymore. I'm treating him like a big boy.
I'm like
the big boy britches are up. We've gotten rid of the Huggies pull-ups. We're putting the boxers on. The boxer shorts are on. This nice guy thing is done. I'm done with that.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's not like I feel sorry for him. I feel like it's almost like a football crime is being committed. They've turned a by all accounts, nice guy, as you put it, a guy of high moral fiber, a well-respected guy, even though he didn't get his head coaching opportunities, and now we know why, but a well-respected guy in the league. Landry, they've turned him into a court jester. He's a court jester. I mean, he is the guy that they put out there to flub around and juggle and say some corny stuff that may or may not be true, stuff that he doesn't believe. Just to deflect the attention away, and there it's working because David Culley now is in the crosshairs.
Yeah,
from the bigger issues, and I feel I don't know if I feel bad for him.
I wouldn't.
But they've committed a football crime here with one of the great people because he looks like a jester. He looks like a guy that's just a punch in over his head punching bag. A guy that is lost. A guy that has no grasp of his own team and certainly has no grasp of reality. I mean, he agreed to this, and he's getting paid. So that's why I'm not feeling too sorry for him. But they are ruining, let me put it this way, they're ruining a man's reputation. That's how low they've sunk. This guy had a great reputation around the league.
Well, I think it's their reputation, too.
Yeah, but they're ruining this man's reputation.
And they're making their already bad reputation even worse because they're trusting this guy to go out there and coach.
That's just wrong.
I'm kind of getting
upset now, not at Culley, because that's just wrong, man. You're ruining a guy.
His nice guy thing has expired to me.
Mm-hmm.
What he did yesterday, to me, I don't feel sorry for him, because I think there's a little bit of David Culley that I think with some of the stuff he said yesterday, and we'll hear it in just a sec. I think he's fake too. I think David Culley.
The evidence points to that.
I think he's fake, honestly. And I'll explain that in a second. That's a hell of an accusation.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna lay it out. I think he's fake.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, let's listen to the first offensive play of the game, because this is when you knew. I mean, you saw the betting line at 9, and you were like, "What does Vegas know?"
Was that the first quarter?
First play of the game. Andre Ware already getting worked up right here on Sports Radio 610.
Wow, Taylor threw it, tried to drill the ball, and Moore got his hands on it, and he's saying throw the flag.
Moore's asking for the challenge flag.
Well, I think he's got this.
And I think he's got it as well, and I'm unsure as to why Tyrod Taylor didn't just run the football.
They ruled it a pick by Kenny Moore, and the Colts have the ball at the Houston 29-yard line. Tyrod Taylor, opening play of the game, throws a bad pick to Moore as he was trying to find Davion Davis.
5 seconds, 5 seconds into the football game.
We were saying that in the press box too. Dude, there's 5 seconds that have elapsed.
And now let me explain why I think David Culley is fake. And I'm not saying he's like as fake as some of the people down the street. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not throwing those accusations. But I think there is an element of fake to David Culley. Maybe he's just doing his job, but regardless, I think this is fake. This was David Culley yesterday. The offense, by the way. The worst, by the way, if you look at advanced stats,
mm-hmm.
DVOA, and I know you take it with a grain of salt, they have the worst run game DVOA of all time.
Yeah.
They have the 14th worst offense DVOA-wise since 1986. Take it with a grain of salt, but worst ever and 14th worst ever over a 35-year period, that's bad.
You think?
That's bad.
Yeah.
Shutout yesterday at home. Here's David Culley talking about evaluating things, and this is why I think David Culley is fake. I'll lay it out for you, and I think you'll agree that there is a certain element of fake with David Culley.
We're going to keep evaluating it and figure out the best way to do what we need to do and do it with the right people.
Okay, so we're going to evaluate it. We're going to evaluate everything. He said we're going to evaluate everything. We're going to look at everything. That right there, when you say evaluation, that puts on the perception and that causes the reaction that maybe there's going to be some self-evaluating. Maybe you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to try to change something and figure something out. Mm-hmm. But then David Culley comes back when Brooks Kabina of the Houston Chronicle asks him this, you're evaluating everything. Listen to what David Culley says he is not going to be evaluating.
You said you're evaluating everything in the offense and as the team in general. Is there something missing in the game plans, you think?
I don't think it's in the game plan. It's not in the game plan. It's us executing. We got to do a better job of coaching them to execute what we're trying to do.
Okay, so you're evaluating everything except our game plan.
Yeah.
This game plan has been flawed for a long time. It's been Deshaun saves all butts. You can take this system and you can get bailed out by Deshaun Watson. You can get bailed out by a guy like Bryce Young, like Alabama did this weekend, like B.O.B. did.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really evaluating everything, and then in that same breath, before you even begin the evaluation process, you say, no, we're not going to evaluate ourselves. We're not going to evaluate our game plan. That's fake. There's no other way to put it. That's fake. Because you're not really evaluating.
You're not evaluating.
If you're evaluating everything except what the coaches are doing and what they're laying out and the game plan, you're fake. You're not accountable. You are going up there and saying you're accountable, but you're fake. And you're I get that sometimes you got to lie with a purpose, but that is an absolute lie that exposes you as a fake football coach. Either you're not allowed to evaluate the game plan and you have nothing to do with it, which is possible. Or you just live in a fantasy world where, yes, there is a lack of talent, but there's also schematic flaws, but you're not even going to look at those schematic flaws because you don't want to look in the mirror and evaluate yourself. Either way you look at it, to me, that's fake.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to evaluate everything, that means play callers, offensive coordinator, game plans, approach, practices, players, talent, depth chart. If you're going to evaluate everything, it's everything, and it's not. You're right.
It's fake. Then there's the clueless side of things.
Well, that's the thing that gets me upset, that they're ruining this guy.
Tyrod Taylor yesterday. Tyrod Taylor was awful. He had a .8 QB rating at half. He's been worse than Davis Mills. He threw the interception on the first play. He was bad. He was inaccurate. He was terrible. He went in the injury tent. Looked like it was a hammy. Apparently, it was a wrist. He walked back out there, had his helmet on, and was ready to go. We were told that Tyrod Taylor was cleared to play. We were told that as well, even after the press conference. But David Culley went up to the podium, and he said this about Tyrod Taylor and why Davis Mills replaced Tyrod Taylor in the second half of yesterday's historic beating.
Was Tyrod benched, or was he not healthy enough to play?
No, I took him out of the game. I put Davis in when I knew his wrist was actually, he couldn't, they told me he couldn't really, wasn't sure he could grip the ball.
All right, it was his left wrist, sir. So maybe there is an element of grip that goes into that, but it was his left wrist, my friend. This was Clinton Sean. I thought this was great. I enjoyed the post-game show. I listened to the entire thing. This was Clinton Sean yesterday talking and reacting to David Culley saying that Tyrod Taylor was pulled out, despite the fact, keep in mind, he was cleared to play by the trainers, but he was pulled out because he was injured.
Is gripping the football, I guess what? Gripping the football coming out from under center or catching a snap?
Here we go. I heard him in the press conference, I looked at you and pointed. I said, it's his left wrist.
Yeah. Which I figure meant like exactly what I think it meant, but I thought I'd ask you, does something seem a little fishy right here with this?
Well, that's not fishy. It's just David Culley.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say, I hope that David Culley comes back tomorrow and says, the grip I was talking about was taking the snap under center if he has to, catching the snap and gun, or gripping the ball and distributing it to the running backs in the run game. I hope that's what he comes back and says, because it's definitely his left wrist, so it doesn't impact his grip in terms of throwing the football. I hope he covers his tracks like that. According to his track record, I'm going to be willing to bet you that David Culley didn't even realize that it was his left hand and not his right.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Fudge. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on Reaction Monday, because the man himself, David Culley, who's talking out of both ends when it comes to accountability, and I don't know what end he's talking about when it comes to Tyrod Taylor being benched or injured. You're going to hear from him live at NRG on Reaction Monday coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610, brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
We're going to keep evaluating it and figure out the best way to do what we need to do and do it with the right people.
You said you're evaluating everything in the offense and as the team in general. Is there something missing in the game plan, do you think?
No, I don't think it's in the game plan. It's not in the game plan. It's us executing. We got to do a better job of coaching them to execute what we're trying to do.
It's fake. It's fake accountability. I'm not saying that it lacks integrity. No matter how you look at it, if you go up there and say you're evaluating everything, and then you say 10 seconds after that, before you've even began the evaluation process, but it's not the coaching, it's not the game planning, it's fake. It's either fake accountability, it's either acknowledgement that you can't do anything to change it, or it's just a display of being out of touch. Either way, that is fake accountability. That's not attacking any character, that's not anything. That right there, to do what David Culley did yesterday, is fake. Fake. It's fake accountability. You can't do that. I can't sit here and say, John, I'm going to evaluate the show afterwards. You know what? After this, I got to look at the video. I got to take everything into account. I'm going to evaluate
you and me.
But not me. No, it's not anything I do. It's not anything that Figgy does.
We're evaluating everything but this guy with two thumbs.
You're not evaluating everything if you say that this game plan, which, by the way, I mean, come on. Like, they were even with Deshaun Watson, I think they were in the top half of the league in DVOA one time with Bill O'Brien with this system. So, like, to sit here and say that it's nothing with the game plan with Tim Kelly and stuff, and you're evaluating everything, it's fake. It's fake. That's not harsh. It is fake.
Not only the game plan, but play calls and calls against certain defenses that the Texans were making even, you know, someone like me who's been following this game a long time, but I've never coached at that level, I was like, why are you calling that play right there against that defense?
John, you watched college football this week, and we watch college football all the time. These teams are more organized than the Texans. Like, at the end of the third quarter,
you look at the end of the third quarter,
the Texans had the ball. It was 3rd and 6, and there was a timeout. There was a TV timeout. They had 4 minutes or whatever to discuss what they were going to do. They ran the ball on 3rd and 6, which means that it was obviously 4-down territory. So they should have had 2 plays ready to go. That's just common sense. I watched some high school games this week, and they were ready to go. You have 2 plays ready to go. You had 4 minutes to discuss it. They gained 2 yards up the middle on a Rex Burkhead dive. And then they look over to the sidelines like they're surprised they're going for it on 4th down.
Right.
I'm not asking you to be good. I'm not asking you to be effective. I know you don't have a lot of talent, but you don't even, like, coming out of a 4-minute timeout, you don't even know what you're going to do. And from a schematic standpoint, I heard Clint breaking it down yesterday with Sean against Cover 2. They're running routes that they shouldn't be running. It is absolute silliness to say you're evaluating everything offensively, but not the game plan. It's fake.
It is.
It's fake.
It absolutely is. And he was. There were some hints yesterday in his post game comments, and his current comments are coming up in just.
We'll hear
a minute.
Him in a sec.
There were some hints. You touched on one. Well, it's everything we're looking at except, you know, us.
Yeah.
And then the other part was, you know, he said at one point yesterday, well, we know the players that, you know, that we have, and I'm paraphrasing, so we're going to try to make the most of it. Basically admitting it's just a severely flawed roster. Well, what does that point to when they're even, you know, not playing as well as the roster you might think the roster would play? It's them. It's the coaching staff. It's the play calling. It's the game plans.
Let's hear from David Culley live from NRG. Yesterday, he had an interesting thing to say about the wrist of Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if he knew it was his right wrist that got injured. Tyrod Taylor was cleared to play. Yeah. Make no mistake about it. He was cleared to play. Here is David Culley live from NRG right here on Reaction Monday.
No, we're still evaluating it.
When will you make a decision?
This week, later on in the week.
What's going to be the main thing you're looking for in making that decision?
After we keep evaluating what we're doing and just kind of see where we need to go and what gives us the best chance to win, and we'll make it based off of that. And it will be later on in the week.
You've been saying kind of all year that Tyrod was starting to be healthy. Is this a difficult decision for you to have to change?
No, Christian, not when you're looking at the way we've been playing. The way our offense has been playing, obviously the job of our quarterback is to score points and get us in the end zone. And we haven't done that very well, and we're going to see what we need to do to get that corrected. And that's why we're doing the evaluation right now.
What did you think about Davis after he came in yesterday?
I thought he did a good job. I thought he made one bad throw yesterday, the one throw that could have been intercepted that Chris Conley did a nice job of breaking up. But other than that, I thought he did a good job. I mean, you know, he handled things well, had a couple of alerts that he didn't hit on the run game that we needed to go the other way. He went the other way with it, but that's common when he hasn't been practicing and taking those reps. But I thought he did a good job, and I thought he threw the ball well.
The intentional grounding, and then I think there's another that he was off the mark with. What happened with those two throws, and just seemed like there was some miscommunication?
Brooks, it was just a miscommunication. It was a miscommunication, and they came up in press coverage. He thought the guy was going to do one thing, and the receiver did another thing. It was simply a miscommunication with he and the receiver being on the same page. And the receiver was right in that particular situation.
Yeah. John, the other issues on offense, getting the receivers more involved, what's it going to take to get more receivers beyond Brandon this game?
Well, it was one of those games where we tried to get other guys involved, but we just weren't able to do it. We missed a couple of throws yesterday that Ty and the receiver should have been pitch and catch with that we didn't get. We had a couple of the illegal formation that we had where we got a big play down the field that ended up bringing the ball back. But there were throws to them that we just didn't connect. We hit and miss with those throws.
How do you plan to divvy up the quarterback reps on Wednesday if you make the decision later in the week?
Whoever our starter will be taking those reps. I'm hoping that way.
How's his wrist feeling today?
He's getting an MRI. They're still evaluating it, and we'll just kind of see how it is. We don't really have the results right now.
It's his non-throwing wrist.
It's the left arm.
So the decision by Wednesday is more of a film review, team study type thing?
Team study and just what gives us the best chance to win and moving forward with the team we're playing and how we've been offensively and what we feel like after we sit down and today and tomorrow and see exactly what we need to do, where we need to go, we'll make that decision.
Made that decision in the middle of the game. Since Nick Caserio's on the headset, do you talk to him through that decision? Was he part of the process?
No, I made the decision myself.
And regarding Tyrod's handling of the ball, since it was his non-throwing hand, what are the aspects of kind of handling the ball you were worried about him capable of doing?
He couldn't grip the ball. Him gripping the ball when the ball was being snapped to him. He had trouble gripping the ball. His hand was swelling up, and that was why.
Did you have a conversation with the two quarterbacks, kind of tell them where you're at and what you're thinking?
I haven't had a conversation at all. Right now.
David, how much does Tyrod, who obviously has more mobility and has some good runs this year that Mills lacks, does that play into a decision with the mobility, especially when quarterbacks get blitzed and pressured?
Well, it plays more so in is when you're throwing the football. Obviously, you need to get the ball out quick when those kind of things are happening. And I really feel like Davis, when he was playing earlier, did a good job of doing that. Now, it's obviously yesterday when he came in the game, you probably saw that more blitzes started coming. And he did a good job of getting the ball off, and he also did a good job of using his feet to keep plays alive and actually got us a couple of first downs. But it is important to be able to have that mobility, and I think he doesn't have Tyrod's mobility, but he has enough mobility to be able to move around.
You're talking about Tyrod gripping the ball. You're talking about taking the snap.
Right, exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Is it a medical decision where you don't really have, you're not having to make a football decision?
No, it'll be a football decision.
So you think you would be healthy enough to play?
We'll know later on in the week.
Do you think Tyrod came back a little bit too early from the hamstring injury?
No, not at all. The hamstring is no issue at all. No issue at all. He's been healthy.
What did you think of Justin Britt and Christian Kirksey in their first games back?
I thought they played well. Justin, obviously it was good having Justin back. He does a nice job up there of directing things with our guards, making calls. And the quarterbacks obviously have a real good comfort level with him. I thought they both, and I thought Christian played really good considering that he'd been out for a while.
Do you expect Laramie Tunsil to return this week?
I don't know if he'll return this week. We're taking it day by day with him, and we'll just kind of see.
Does a reputation decision belong to Tunsil, or is it the doctors and the trainer that makes that decision?
It's a combination of things, John.
Tyrod has a reputation for taking care of the ball. What do you think has been different about him this season?
You know, Aaron, I wish I could answer that. I'm not really sure. You're right. That hasn't been his MO. I don't really have an answer for that. I'm not really sure. It's just that those aren't things that he has done through his history. It's happened. And yesterday, the very first play of the game was one of those situations where in the past, he'd ran the ball, but he threw it. And it was a bad decision.
Other aspects of his game, whether it be just overall accuracy or how much he's pushing the ball downfield, anything that doesn't maybe line up with what your expectation was of how he was going to play when you?
No, the only expectation I have of him was him taking care of the football. And when he takes care of the football, when he's done that through his career, he's been a good quarterback. And that hasn't happened the last few ball games.
In the next couple of days, as you're making the decision, how much when you're building around the offense around these two quarterbacks are there differences in what kind of reveals the trying to get something going with the offense?
Well, we've had Davis for those games that he's already started, and we kind of adjusted when we had him as a quarterback and before when Tyrod got hurt. So we'll go back and look at those things that he did and he did well, and we'll adjust it to him. And some of the things we had in for Tyrod, we won't have in for him because of the mobility thing within the run game.
You mentioned after yesterday's loss that you guys are going to reevaluate a lot of things. How much of that is also going to go into the coaching staff, especially with Tim Kelly as the play caller?
No, there's no problem. I have no problem at all with Tim calling the plays or any of the guys on our staff.
David, after the New England game when Mills played his best game, are you surprised that he did, not that he played that well in the game, but he just seemed to regress, the offense seemed to regress. Are you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised so much as that day, with the way they played us and the way he played and the way things went that day, he made good decisions. He there wasn't a lot of pressure on him. They played a defense where they didn't blitz a bunch, and he was able to execute, and he did things. And I thought that day he played well enough for us to win that ball game. And obviously he's a rookie, so when you get a rookie in there, just like yesterday, they blitzed us more when he went in the game than they did when we had Tyrod in the game.
When you were talking about Tim Kelly just then, you said any other person on the staff with play calling, do you mean anyone else would do that?
No, I'm just saying I'm happy with all the guys on our staff with what they're doing, the job they're doing.
All right, there's David Culley. He's pleased with the entire staff. They're evaluating, but not the staff.
Hold on, we'll
get into that. There's a lot to get into. This is
it wasn't horseshit on offense.
It's the same thing. Same song, different dance. David Culley frustrating a lot of people. Cal McNair met with the frustration of the fans yesterday at NRG, and that fan got sent packing. Did Cal McNair go soft yesterday? Lots to get into. Reaction Monday continues next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Right, so evaluations going on, not the coaching staff, though. We're pleased with the game plan. We're pleased with the coaching staff, according to David Culley. We'll get more into that. I also find it pretty interesting that he thought that Davis Mills only threw one bad pass.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was watching, but that's what he said. And did you notice something else that I thought was interesting?
What's that?
When he said that, and here was him talking about Davis Mills throwing one bad pass.
Mm-hmm.
We know Justin Reed got suspended last week, according to reports, because he got in an argument with Chris Conley. Conley's one of those culture
guys.
Well,
afterwards with Culley.
Yeah, afterwards with Culley, apparently he got in an argument with Chris Conley. Listen to what he says when he says that Davis Mills threw just one bad pass. Listen to what he mentions in passing.
I thought he did a good job. I thought he made one bad throw yesterday, the one throw that could have been intercepted that Chris Conley did a nice job of breaking up.
Okay, thank you, Chris. You can tell who the favorite is here.
Teacher's pet.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Your reaction to what David Culley said. And Cal McNair also met with some of the Venom of the fans out there at NRG. But your reaction to hearing the coach today?
I definitely want to get to that. But Davis Mills is going to start. I think you could read between the lines and pretty much say that because he kept deflecting away from the injury. He did give us an answer on knowing his right from his left. And, I mean that I'm not trying to be trite here. He didn't seem to know the right from the left because his throwing hand is his right and an injury was on his left. He did give us some clarity on that, catching the ball from shotgun formation that that Tyrod Taylor was having trouble doing. But that's not a factor in his decision. And reading between the lines, one of my takeaways is they've made the decision, all right, enough's enough, 2-10, nowhere to go. Officially eliminated from the playoffs, by the way, the Texans. And so I think the takeaway is Davis Mills will start. Not a lot to say on Zach Cunningham and where he's going to be landing this week, and we can only assume that he'll be back, presuming he finishes and does his COVID testing. But really, the biggest thing was the coaching staff, and the problem is not there. The problem is the coaching staff. I don't know what percentage, pick a number, 30, 40, 50, 80%. But him just protecting the coaching staff, not going to make any changes, not going to make any changes on play calling. It doesn't matter. They're going to be really, really bad and have a really, really high draft pick. But if you're sending all these messages and building a culture, that's the problem. You're building a culture. You keep talking about this culture you're building. Awful play calling, miscommunication, alignment, plays, game plans. Is that going to be part of the culture you're building? It's ridiculous.
I just don't know how you can say with a straight face that you're pleased with this game plan.
Right.
Maybe it's not your decision.
Not the coaching.
I'm hoping that that's not what Nick Caserio is saying. He's going to join Payne and Pendergast tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll get into the Cal thing in a sec. But first, I do want to shout out our friends at TDE. CU. They are giving away $300 every time the Texans get into the red zone. Unfortunately, the Texans did not get into the red zone yesterday, as we all know. But that's not going to stop TDECU from doing what they do. We had Josh from TDECU in studio a few weeks ago. He mentioned, the thing that they did with the social media post where each like money was donated. And they're going to continue to do that work and continue to adjust on the fly and do what they do at TDECU.
They're going
to
play.
So shout out to Josh. Shout out to all them for everything they do to the Boys and Girls Clubs locally.
We've had him on here talking about an organization that's near and dear to both of us. And they're going to play at a championship level when it comes to giving money to the Boys and Girls Club, whether the Texans get in the red zone or not.
We know that.
That's all you need to know.
And they've already shown that. So shout
them.
Out to TDECU for what they do. We'd love to see the Texans get in the red zone 20 times, and they would as well. And they're not going to let that stop the great work that they do. Cal McNair just tweeted this out at Landry Locker. He was confronted at his suite with a fan holding up a sign that said, "Hey, Cal, the fans care, do you?" And sell the team. The fan was escorted away. And I got to give a shout out to the fans that hung around yesterday. There weren't a ton, but they were making their voice heard. They were booing. And you talk to some people and they say, well, the real way to get the owner is, not show up at all. I disagree, because first of all, I think that's unrealistic. It's not going to be a completely empty stadium. And second of all, there are a lot of people going to these games now that wouldn't be able to afford to otherwise. People aren't just going to, not everyone's just going to give away their season tickets. So the fact that the diehards, what diehards remain there were there, and the fact they were letting it be known that they were not okay with what was going on. I'm not telling anyone the right way or wrong way to fan. I'm just saying there's a portion, each fan base has a portion, and there are different personalities. And I know that isn't easy for a lot of these people. And I just want to salute them and say good job letting your frustrations be heard. But as far as the fan that held up the sign and was escorted out, you had a reaction to that, him being escorted out and him holding up the sign, et cetera.
All right. So on your point, I'm walking into the stadium. Of course, there's maybe 40,000 people in maybe 40,000 people in the stadium. I noticed a lot of children when I was walking in and through the parking lots. That tells me that a lot of people were getting free tickets and just saying, hey, my kid's never been to a game, an NFL game before. So I'm going to take my kids. I know that's a hot take, but I noticed a lot more kids walking into the stadium. Did y'all notice that, you and Figgy? Than usual, like little kids, like from 5 to 12 or whatever.
I didn't notice that.
I did. And that was telling me, you did, Figgy?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, and that was telling me that there were a lot of free tickets handed out, and so people with free tickets like, hey, my kid's never been to a game, I'm taking them to an NFL game. That's going to tie in with my point here. And then there's the hardcore fans that you talked about that were with you enough to still care enough to boo. You shouldn't alienate those guys. Because most fans, the apathy around this team is the big problem. You know, we all know that. Those are the guys that care enough to at least boo when you're not playing well and show up. And then kids, which is next generation, right? Then there is the guy who held up the sign that you talked about. And for those who don't know, it was in front of Cal McNair's owner's suite.
At Lopez on Sports, at
you can see the video.
Landry Locker, you can see the video.
Holding up, it looked like a towel that he kind of snuck in, rolled up, that it had printed on it.
Wait, yeah, that's a huge towel.
It's a huge beach towel. Fans care, do you, and then sell the team. Here's the thing about that really bothered me. No, first of all, he's one of those hardcore fans. He was there. No vulgarity.
At RonnieB832 on Twitter.
Paid his money to get there. Took the time to try to send a message to Cal McNair and others in that owner's suite, and clearly still cared. Cal McNair completely misplayed this. I mean, completely misplayed. He came across looking soft, looking thin-skinned, looking just petty. And, you know, Sean and Seth had the woman who took the video on their show today. She called a little after 7 this morning. And said they weren't kicked out of the stadium. They were just moved. Dude, that's petty, man. You could have handled this so much differently as an owner, and maybe at least with one fan and the word maybe getting out, you know, bring him up to the suite and try to explain to him your plan.
Come on.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm not saying Cal would have done
this. Cal's going to explain the plan?
Or have somebody explain it. Or try to defuse it.
Come
some
on,
way.
J-Lo. I didn't know we were going this way.
What would they do in Indianapolis?
Jim Mercer would hand him a hundo.
Do that. Sign a $100 bill and
Jim
say, here.
Jim Mercer's got Chris Ballard overlooking things.
Send him some Texans
Jim
gear.
Jim Mercer didn't sell his soul to Jack Easterby.
Send him some Texans gear.
You can't explain what you're doing right now. The only way that you can explain something that's going to make people happy, and I actually think Cal still has this opportunity, is you do what you had the opportunity to do. After week 4 of 2020, you fire Jack Easterby, you fire Tim Kelly, you move on, and you actually
that
show
ain't happening.
No, that you're trying exactly, to make
a
change.
That's fine, but Cal McNair ain't going to bring a guy up there and explain anything.
Well, that's the problem, and you're missing my bigger point. My bigger point is, you know, have the guy come up and say, listen, this is bad. I feel your pain. He's not going to do it. He's not capable, I don't think, of doing that, of having that kind of forward-thinking, kind of solve the issue immediately, turn that frown upside down. Tell him, look, man. The next time we are in a playoff game, whenever that is, I want you to sit up here with me for that playoff game and get that story out there. What I'm saying is, yes, it's funny because we know he wouldn't do it, and he's thin-skinned. That's what I'm saying. He handled it so badly.
So you think that fan is just so soft that he's going to go up there and say, oh, thank you. Next time there's a playoff game, I'm going to sit with you.
Well, maybe he would tell him off. All I'm saying is Cal, to have this guy move from seats that he's paid for, that he's there for, that he cares enough to send a message to you via this towel or whatever it was, he's one of the guys you cannot alienate even more because most fans are already off the ship. I thought I was kind of embarrassed for Cal. He looks soft, man.
Do you not agree, though, that, like, in the big scheme of things, like, sometimes you make a mistake and there's no going back on it? Like, you made the mistake of letting Bill O'Brien be general manager and letting him do what he did. You lost Brian Gain. You lost Chris Olsen. You traded all those draft picks for Tunsil. You traded DeAndre Hopkins. There's no going back to that.
Yeah.
Do you not agree that, like, where you are right now, with where it looks like things are going, with the reaction that we've seen, given the fact that you are going to have a full draft, given the fact that you're going to trade Deshaun Watson, hopefully, and you're going to get more draft picks, that you do actually, in this situation, over a year after, there was the largest amount of hope that we've had in this town for a long time, do you not agree that there is an opportunity? I'm not saying it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
And Figgy, you shut it down immediately. But at this point, if you did fire Jack Easterby and you did say goodbye to Tim Kelly, mm-hmm. you realize that all of the buzz that we felt after Bill O'Brien was gone, you realize that that comes back and you've actually made it right. Like, this isn't like us talking for 3 years about the Bill O'Brien issue and saying, mm-hmm. you're only going to get so far. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. And then 3 years later, it's too late. Like, you really do, if you're Cal McNair, if you're Nick Caserio, whoever you have to convince, whether it's one of the beautiful McNair women, mm-hmm. Whether it's Nick Caserio, et cetera. Now that you have a grasp of what Jack Easterby does, and I think that Nick Caserio will have a better grasp of it, because I think Jack Easterby is one of those guys, like those bad like bosses who keeps it close to the hip, to where not many people know like the processes right. and stuff, to where if he leaves, it would be a disaster.
Yeah.
But now that Caserio knows the daily operations and he knows exactly how it was done and how not to do it and maybe how to do it, you do realize that he does have that opportunity right now, right? Like, it's not too late.
Right. No, absolutely.
Do you agree with me?
Everything would change overnight.
It would be done. Like,
everything would change overnight.
You have that chance. This is not Bill O'Brien's arguing with Brian Gain and then all of a sudden it's going like, Cal McNair really does have that opportunity to bring back that buzz that people were feeling after they truly thought that the Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby era was gone. It is still there. The moment is still there.
Especially with draft picks on the way.
It's there,
another,
man.
Another head coach on the way.
It's there.
Et cetera. But it's not going to happen, first of all.
Okay.
But I think it was Nick Caserio. Your memory's better on these things than mine.
Tomorrow, 7:30 with Payne and Pendergast, by the way.
I think it was actually with Payne and Pendergast in one of his previous interviews where he said brick by brick. Was that Caserio that said, you know, we're trying to build this thing brick by brick?
Maybe every GM has said that.
I know. But what I'm saying is that guy yesterday, Cal McNair, it would have just been one brick. Would have just been one brick had he handled that differently. But it's one.
But the problem I have with that, with what you're saying, is that when you bring back Jack Easterby, you show that you don't give a damn about perception. Maybe you can solve it by winning. I mean, I know McClain simplifies it to where it's just about winning. But when you bring back Jack Easterby, you show that you don't care about perception.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, there's nothing you can do now. Like, you can't go to charity events. You can't do press conferences. Like, there's nothing you can say. I mean, that's why Jack Easterby hasn't done a press conference. Because there's nothing he could say. Like,
he's hiding.
Well, yeah. Because there's nothing he could say that you would really take serious. So I get what you're saying, but you've already shown that you don't care about the perception of your fans, and some of your fans are showing you that they're frustrated in varying ways. But I don't even think there's any way to do it as long as Jack Easterby's here.
The big sweeping change that would change everything is what you're talking about.
But it's still there, right?
It's still out there.
It's still there. It's not too late.
With one stroke of the pen, Cal McNair could change everything. We both agree. I think you agree with Figgy and I. Not going to happen even after this horrible season. Easterby's here for the duration, however long that is.
Okay.
That's the big, easy way to do it. Okay. The grassroots kind of, you know, step-by-step, brick-by-brick way to do it is the exact opposite of what he did with that dude yesterday. Because I don't know. I mean, this may or may not be true. This may have been an independent decision by the security officer that was there, because we saw him on the video too, wave the guy out to move to another place. It might have been, but I think it's safe to some that to say that somebody in that suite said, get that guy out of here, right? It's safe to say that. That's the exact opposite of what you should do. And that's what I'm saying. If you're not going to, short of eliminating Easterby, brick by brick, they handled it completely wrong. You can't have a business philosophy of the customer is always wrong. You know that old saying, the customer is always right? It seems like the business philosophy right now, because everybody knows where Easterby is and where this organization is and Cal, et cetera, their philosophy is the customer is always wrong. Can't have it.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Landry Locker with you. Reaction Monday. The biggest consequence of everything we're talking about, though, could come to life in 2023. A lot of Texans fans have their eye on a savior. That's nice and all, but I got some bad news for you. He ain't coming here. I'll tell you why next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.